In the aftermath of Kabbalah Satorah, which is where we are, we're in the aftermath of Kabbalah Satorah, so it is appropriate to talk a little bit about some of the enduring messages of Kabbalah Satorah. By the Hasidim, this is a special Shabbos. The Shabbos after Kabbalah Satorah is called Shabbos Nach Shviyis. The Shabbos after Shavuos. It's like a big deal that it's the Shabbos after Shavuos. You would think, what do you mean? No, now we just go back to normal. Now it's just a regular. Last Shabbos was a strange Shabbos. Now it's just a regular Shabbos. No, it's Shabbos Nach Shavuos. It's the Shabbos after Shavuos. It's a time period that's defined by Kabbalah Satorah. Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer writes that the minute that many shuls have of not saying Tachnun this entire week was because Shavuos was a marriage, and now we're experiencing a Sheva Brachos. So we're having a Sheva Brachos with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So during Sheva Brachos, you don't say Tachnun. So let's talk a little bit about one element of Torah that seems to have an odd connection. The Torah tells us, when it talks about the requirement to put on tefillin, it's a strange correlation. A correlation between tefillin, dafka, and Talmud Torah. But why would tefillin be singled out about all mitzvahs? Meaning, that's the mitzvah that leads to Talmud Torah? Tefillin leads to Talmud Torah? Every mitzvah leads to Talmud Torah. You have to learn about the halachos of every mitzvah. I don't know, why is tefillin something that leads to Talmud Torah more than mezuzah or tzitzis or anything? Furthermore, when you go to a bar mitzvah, you'll often find a lot of imagery of tefillin. The centerpieces, assuming it's not like basketballs, but the centerpieces, the design on the benchers. Bar mitzvah boy, actually, little known fact, a lot of bar mitzvah boys think they become chayiv in tarig mitzvahs at the end of Shana Aleph. It's not true. Become chayiv in mitzvahs, in all the mitzvahs, tarig mitzvahs, like right then, at the bar mitzvah, he becomes chayiv in all the mitzvahs. Not just tefillin, he doesn't only become chayiv in tefillin, 613 mitzvahs. And, even though we customarily only start putting on tefillin around the time of the bar mitzvah, midin to gemara, a child starts putting on tefillin, katan yadei lishmor tefilav, if he's able to protect his tefillin. I think Rav Shachter, I kept meaning to confirm this with him, I think Rav Shachter told me once that he started putting on tefillin like 2 years before his bar mitzvah, because his father trusted that he's yadei lishmor tefilav, that he knew how to guard his tefillin. Every kid, it's different, right? Some kids, you don't trust that they could guard their tefillin until they're like 18, but some kids, you have that kid that's like very precocious, and he comes with his tie and his tie clip and whatever, and he's 6 years old and he's got so that kid could probably do tefillin. There's a kid like that in my shul, he could probably handle tefillin even though he's very young. So that's the din of the Gemara. It's got nothing to do with the bar mitzvah. It has to do with the bar mitzvah to the same extent that every other mitzvah has to do with the bar mitzvah. So what's this association that we make? Furthermore, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, tells us that La'asod Lavo, in a time period of great Jewish prosperity, when we do not accept the Gerim, because we have to be suspicious that Gerim are coming just because we're so prosperous, there are going to be non-Jews who come to convert on their own, and they're going to come umanichin tefillin b'rasheyen, tefillin b'zroseyem, tzitzis b'bigdeyem, mezuzos b'pischeyem. They're going to come convert, and they're going to have tefillin b'rasheyen, tefillin b'zroseyem, tzitzis on their begin, mezuzah on their doorways. Problem is, the order is off. What do you mean they're going to have tefillin b'rasheyen and then tefillin b'zroseyem? That's not how we do it. We put the shaliyad on before the shal rosh. Why would the Gemara flip the order of how it describes how they put on the tefillin? So I saw a beautiful piece in Rav Yitzchak Mirsky in his last volume, or latest volume of Hegyonei Halacha. I think it's the fourth volume of Hegyonei Halacha. It's on like life cycles, drushas for like weddings and bar mitzvahs. It's a rabbi's best friend, that sefer. It gives you a lot to say at different life cycle occasions. So he says that in a sense, Maimon Har Sinai in Kabbalah Satorah, we often talk about it as the wedding of Klal Yisrael. And there are a lot of Mar Makomos to back that up, that it in fact is the wedding of Knesset Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's also the Bar Mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Chav Chesam Beis, tells us, Kiyem Avraham Avinu Kala Torah Kula ad shelo nidna, afilu eruv tafshilin. Avram Avinu was mekayim everything before Matan Torah, even eruv tafshilin. And the Ramban in Bereishis Chaf Vav Hey explains that Mistama, his descendants, did the same. That's not only about Avram Avinu, but probably everyone was observing. All the descendants of Avram Avinu were observing the entire Torah. But if that's the case, what changed in Har Sinai? We were observing the Torah the entire time. We were keeping the Torah the whole time. We were religious Jews the entire time. What changed in Har Sinai? We went from being an Eina Mitzvah V'Yosef to being a Mitzvah V'Yosef. When does a person go through that transition from an Eina Mitzvah V'Yosef to a Mitzvah V'Yosef? A Bar Mitzvah. So the Bar Mitzvah was, the Matan Torah rather, was the Bar Mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. So Rav Mirsky further explains the defining moment of Maamar Har Sinai was when Klal Yisrael says Naseh V'Nishma, which is a difficult thing to understand. So what does it mean? How can I do things that I don't know about yet? I can only do things that I know about. So what does it mean? Naseh V'Nishma. Elamai, Nishma doesn't mean to hear about it, to learn that it exists. Nishma, you know, the better translation of Nishma, better than to hear, is the Yiddish to derher. Rav Lapiansky has in one of his pieces, in Timepieces, the book Timepieces, on the word derher, that sometimes there are certain things that can be transmitted in Yiddish that you don't, that there's just no really great English word for it. Meaning, it's not just to hear, it's to fully internalize, to appreciate, you know, that's what it means. So obviously we're going to hear the mitzvahs before performing them. That's not what Naseh V'Nishma meant. The godless of Naseh V'Nishma is that we were willing to fulfill all the mitzvahs before they all resonated with us, before we fully understood their meaning. And the Jewish trait of being willing to commit before fully understanding was something that's very difficult for non-Jews to relate to. The Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Pei Zayin, tells us, a tzeduki saw Rava learning with deep concentration, and he mocked him by drawing attention to the fact that, oh, you're an Amma Faziza, you're this impetuous nation who were mocked him Nasa L'Nishma. What a ridiculous thing to do. How can you commit to something when it doesn't resonate? What kind of people commit before understanding the depth and the meaning of that commitment? It happens to be that's what we did at Kabbalah Satorah. It happens to be that's what we do at a wedding also, right? Meaning when we commit to all the chiyuvim of the ksuba. So I just mentioned a shul this past Shabbat, right? We commit to all the chiyuvim of the ksuba. So what do we say? Ana ezel and va'afarnes. I'm going to give you clothing. And before you get married, do you have any idea what that means? What clothing means for a woman? Like you figure, you know, I have Shabbos shoes, I have weekday shoes, I have two Shabbos suits in case one gets dirty, and what is it already? What's clothing? So, but then you learn. But that's what you committed to. It's a davashen lo kitzba. So you commit to something like that. But the Umos Holom couldn't understand. What do you mean? How are you going to cross all the T's, dot all the I's? How are you going to know exactly what's coming? Tefillin represent those two words, Naseh and Nishma. Tefillin Shal Yad relates to Asiya. Tefillin Shal Rosh relates to Nishma, to Derher, to the Tefillin Sheber Rosho. Right? That's what the Tefillin Shal Rosh represents, to incorporate something in one's mind. Even the Bar Mitzvah Su'uda might be a reenactment of V'yachzu Asalukim V'yochlu V'yishtu. The Ramban explains it means that Sha'asu Simcha V'yom Tov Ki Kein Chova L'smach B'Kabbalah Satorah Kasher Tziva B'Kasvam Kol Divrei Torah Alavanim V'Zavachta Shlamim V'yachalta Sham V'samachta L'fnei Hashem Elokecha. That when we had to write the entirety of Torah in Shivim Lashon on Avanim, like the Gemara in Masechta Sota tells us what they had to do, is one of the miracles. Taflam Zvav, the Gemara tells us about all the miracles that happened on the day that we crossed the Yarden. One of the miracles was that somehow we had time, according to one opinion, to travel 60 mil to Argrizim Arevel, come all the way back from Argrizim Arevel, and write all of Torah in Shivim Lashon on a stone that one day. So a lot of amazing things happened that day, but when we wrote the Torah, we felt that we had a full grasp on the Torah. What follows is v'zavachta shlamim v'yachalta shlamim v'zavachta v'yachalta shlamim. You have a suuda. So the in a certain sense, the Kabbalah Satorah is the Bar Mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. And that could help us answer all the questions we started with. The reason the Torah says that tefillin specifically is Mantia Torah Hashem Beficha is that tefillin represents this sense of Kabbalah Satorah. Tefillin is a miniature Nasa v'nishma that happens every day. You put on the tefillin shel yad, that's your Nasa, and tefillin shel rosh, that's your nishma. So it's a symbol of a bar mitzvah. Kabbalah Satorah was the bar mitzvah of Klal Yisrael when we became mitzuva v'yosa. So it follows that tefillin, which represents Nasa v'nishma, will also be the symbol of a personal bar mitzvah, if it was the symbol of a bar mitzvah of Klal Yisrael. The reason that the Gerim Gerurim described in Masech Avodah Zarah came with tefillin b'rosheyem, tefillin b'zroseyem, the Gemara b'kavana flipped it. Because they don't understand if they're coming from Umas HaOlam. They don't understand to the extent that a Nachri could ever connect to tefillin, you need to have the Nishma before the Nasa. You need to really understand what you're committing to and really fully appreciate it before you could do something. But Klal Yisrael doesn't see it that way. There's a Minhag Yisrael quoted by the Kitzur HaShloah to recite, as one is wrapping the straps of the shalyad around their fingers, a series of psukim from Sefer Hosea that seem to be about marriage. Right? Many of you probably have that minhag. But it seems a little bit out of place. I mean, first of all, why are we talking about erusin when we put on tefillin? Right? Unless it's like a chassidish chassan where they're, you know, like in the old days where they marry him off already at the bar mitzvah. Right? Why are we talking about erusin when we put on tefillin? If you associate tefillin with bar mitzvah, you know, it seems like it's the wrong life cycle event. And second of all, even if you want to focus on a wedding, the choice of erusin is strange. You want to focus on a wedding, erusin, make it nisuin. It would make much more sense to talk about nisuin, which is a more permanent than erusin. Erusin just lasts for a short while, hopefully. And then you go into nisuin, which hopefully lasts the rest of your life. So Mirsky suggests that what differentiates erusin from nisuin is the hislavus and the simcha that's felt in that moment, which is sometimes difficult to maintain throughout a full lifetime of marriage. So as we experience tefillin each day, we daven verestichli liolam, that we should have that feeling of ischadshus, that feeling of erusin liolam. It's unnatural to have that feeling of erusin liolam. By definition, it's an abbreviated period of time, but we daven that feeling should last liolam. I remember one of my rebbeim when we put on tefillin for the first time told us every day you put on tefillin should be as exciting to you as the first day you put on tefillin, right? That should be. It should be as meaningful to you and as exciting to you, as impactful as the first day you put on tefillin. But if the parallel for tefillin is Kabbalah Satorah, you know, that's what we're doing on Shavuos. It's meant to re-energize us by re-experiencing Kabbalah Satorah, reading Aseres Dibros B'Tam Elyon, because it's a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai, to be able to feel that we're getting the Torah again. And sometimes, after a long zman, after a lot of time, day in, day out, you know, it's natural for a person to lose a little bit of that sense of his slavas. No one comes in on the first day of the year, first day of his month, and says, oh my God, I'm back here again this month, it's going to be lousy. Because, I mean, if someone did, then they should just leave right then, they have no chance. Right? Everyone comes in all the time, oh, it's going to be different, my notes are going to be awesome, I'm going to chazer 12 times, I have a whole system developed in my mind, I'm going to know it all by heart. You know, everyone's got huge plans, and by the end of this month, it's just like, you know, what can I do to just like, give me the bechina? But the idea of a Shavuos maybe comes out at a good time of the year for us to give us that re-energize us in our learning, to remember that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and the mitzvah of Kabbalah Satorah is each and every day. And we're all in. We're Nasa even before we're Nishma, even before we have a full appreciation of everything. But we're all in because we're passionate and we're excited about Talmud Torah and about our relationship with the Baruch Shalom.